That's right. Started a little behind, but it's all good because we are having a blast here on a Tuesday in Loop on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. You getting involved with the program on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. And, of course, there's always the text line to get involved with, 713-572-4610. Where remember that number because obviously you use that to text, but also
who wants to go to training camp?
It's a Texas Training Camp Tuesday, baby. We're getting this going for the next, I don't know, month or so. Mm-hmm. We will be giving away four VIP tickets every hour today to Texans Training Camp on August 1st at Houston Methodist Training Center, which is across from NRG Stadium. And tickets, of course, are courtesy of your Houston Texans. So we'll do that as we go, but we'll also just have fun. And speaking of the Texans, speaking of training camp, speaking of being out there on the turf slash grass tomorrow, we'll be watching football this week, ladies and gentlemen. One more sleep until we are just watching football activities. But one of the things about football activities, it's fun, but also it's serious. It's serious business, and we're trying to learn things about this 2025 Houston Texans team. What will we know by the end of this week, or what will we have more insight into? Because, again, training camp is a full-long process, and we're not going to learn everything. But I think by the end of the first, 3 days of camp, we will have picked up some things, Lopez.
Oh, yeah, we've got 3 days. Then we have the open practice on Saturday. So we come back on Monday, and what are we going to know? What do you think we're going to...
Are you just going to do the show looking at a flock of seagulls?
I wanted to show Sean. That guy was bald when I saw him, when I had to introduce him. Like right now it's been mostly educated, but educated speculation. It's been projection. It's been piecing the dots together, connecting the dots, so to speak. But I think we're going to have a pretty good feel for things that okay. You know, one of those moments where we're like, okay, it is this. So what are some of the things that we're going to know by the end of the week? I think we're going to know a lot more, maybe not obviously everything. I think we're going to know a lot more about the Popovich effect and the Popovich style with this offensive line. Like, we know we have a pretty good idea. It's going to be a Patriots style of approach. Not so much, you know, a gap scheme, but more, you know, power running, et cetera. I think we're going to have a real good feel on that, the Popovich. And there's other things as well. I'm curious what you're thinking.
Yeah, no, when you mention Popovich, I know you're talking about kind of the style of the actual schematics and those things.
Yeah.
I think that there's going to be, and some of this we have a level of understanding of because of the ways that, you know, the various players who have talked in various instances, a lot of that being Texas All Access. So shout out to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. But some of the ways that those guys interact with their players, the ways that they hold them accountable as much as we can see outside, that's one of the great things about training camp is that you get to get a feel for what the coaches, like, what their demeanors are and how they talk to these guys. And I don't know that that's going to be everything, but that's going to be some level of understanding of what's happening here, right? Like, how does this differ also from the ways that particularly the offense, because obviously the defense, I mean, we have similar, if not the same personnel all the way across, obviously talking about some guys who moved on, like your assistant defensive line coach who goes on to Atlanta to take up that role. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, most of that's more static on that side. Offense, there's moving and shaking, whether it's just new guys, new faces, but then also new responsibilities. How do those things kind of show up in the ways that they're interacting out there on the field? And then, of course, is what you're talking about is what's the actual output that we're starting to
right.
see.
Now, let me bounce a couple more things off you guys. The most important position on the field, you know, how is Nick Caley's offense going to look with C.J. Stroud? How is C.J. Stroud going to look, period, and how is he going to look in the offense? And Gerard Johnson, you know, obviously, he stayed here for a reason, and that is C.J. Stroud, and I think Nick Caley's going to lean on him pretty heavily in the pass game. That whole Nick Caley, Gerard Johnson, C.J. Stroud dynamic.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And when you talk about the dynamic, I think also we can lean heavily into the C.J. Stroud of it all. How much different does he look as a quote-unquote leader? I say quote-unquote because he's always been leader guy to some extent, but this he made it a point in kind of the, you know, the exit evals or the exit conversation that, you know, he wants more. And he's given, you know, some quotes that lead us to believe that he is getting exactly that. And so how does that look? What does it look like with him with a firmer hand on the wheel, with more hands on the reins? I think that'll be something we start to get an appreciation for. How about this? Because I know that offensive line is a big thing that we've talked about, and we're not going to get the answers right off the bat. In fact, I think that, you know, D'Amico Ryan said, and of course this was of mini camps or whatever, mm-hmm. but the jobs will not be won and lost then. I feel like it's probably also can be said in the first week of training camp that the jobs will not be won and lost. But I think that there is a new dynamic this week that we did not have then, which courtesy of Aaron Wilson, we know Trent Brown is now cleared to get out here and play and like actually play football. And so I am very intrigued because I know that's your man's, Trent Brown, the 6'8 of it all. And I understand he comes with the level of understanding of what the offense is. How much of him is being here is the similar kind of Jake Andrews dynamic of he understands that he could be a level of conduit for understanding what Nick Caley's trying to do. And how much of that is, no, we want him to be a dude that obviously the competition is the word, but he want a dude who actually competes for that right tackle job outright. Like, how do they view him? Is he more of a support guy, or do they really trust him to be out here and maybe not even just be a competitor, but maybe a leader in the clubhouse for that position?
Yeah, I think it's very important for this offensive line that he has been cleared for football activities. That means he's going to be on the field. He's going to be behind the line. I do not expect him to play maybe for a couple of weeks, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, because I think they're going to bring him along slowly. But he's going to be on the field. He's going to be obviously in the meeting rooms. That you can do that anytime. But, you know, talking to people, telling them how they – whether it's you know, Fisher or Ursary or whomever, you know, how they do that. So I think it's really, really important. But here's the other part of the offensive line. You say, you know, there's going to be competition – and, you know, nothing has been determined, will be determined in the first week. But they got to throw in a first-team offensive line out there at some, you know, the first day. You know, day one, tomorrow when we're out there and they go 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, there's going to be a first-team offensive line that lines up. I'm very interested in that.
Yeah.
I'm very interested.
Agreed. And, like, how frequently do they rotate?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, obviously you can expect that, but there's been times, and with any season, any team coming into a season, regardless of the sport, there are things that they say, and then there are things that they do.
Sure.
And that sometimes those are the same thing. Though sometimes the delta between those is not exist. Not
what do I always say? Watch what they do, not what they say.
But sometimes it's large, right? And so competition has been a big word, but we've also seen some relatively static in the very small samples that we've gotten to see the offensive line. Oh yeah, we've seen a kind of a coalition of I don't even think that's the right word, but we've seen it kind of come around this one large largely one look of the starting offensive line. Of course, again, not much that we could go off of. Does that stick, or do they do a lot of moving around? Do they try a lot of different things? I'm very intrigued to see what that is. And on top of that, the way that camp goes, you know, defenses usually start ahead of the offense. How far behind is it that this offense is, particularly on this offense line of the defense, as they're trying to get themselves together?
But I think that's important, especially by Monday, because as we mentioned, three practices that we're going to be at this week, then the Saturday open practice, which we'll be at, of course. After 4 days, I think we'll have a pretty good idea. Okay, this guy looks like he's pretty much, at least for the early part, going to be the starting center or the, you know, whatever. So I think we'll have a good feel for that. But this is the one that I think we'll have the best feel on. You know, one of the we're talking about, you know, things that we're going to know a lot more at the end of the week than we do right now. And that's the running back rotation. You know, because obviously Joe Mixon, we know he's going to be the starter. He may not even take a lot of reps. But if you start seeing heavy doses of Nick Chubb running with some guys, with the first team, second team, maybe there'll be some impressive, you know, Woody Marks or whomever. But I think we're going to have a real good feel on the early running back rotation.
Yeah, I think that will give us some idea. And then just how far along are Woody Marks as one of the rookies, but also a number of the other rookies we can bring up on the YouTube page. J-Rock said if Woody Marks can pass block, that'll be useful.
Yes.
What up, Johnny? How much can you see out of that? But then also, yeah, how far do they go into letting some of these other guys get some burn? But yeah, I think also the rookies in general, like just getting out there, seeing what they're capable of doing, seeing like where they are, just generally starting off. What's the starting point that we're working on? Because there's a number of them. We brought up some of those that I do wonder, are they going to be more project guys or more impact guys early? Not that you're going to have an abundant idea of what that is, but I think you get a certain idea of what the team is believing for those guys. I think Reed and Smith, the defensive backs, are going to be big ones in that regard. But then also Ariante.
Yeah,
right?
Ariante, for sure. And then I got one more for you. And this is the traditional, every camp does it, every writer, fan, whomever does it. Who looks the best? Who looks like they they changed in the offseason. You know, who's going to come back? Not it clearly doesn't always translate, you know, because we had
LD is over here doing work, man. You know?
We had Kenyon Green look pretty damn good.
That's a good point.
Coming into camp last year. But I think guys like Kalen Bullock, I think if he he was just a sprite of a guy, a real splinter kind of player. If he kind of puts on some mass and some strength, et cetera. Brevin Jordan is one that I'm gonna be watching.
That's a big one.
Because, you know, at that position, you know, we know Cade Stover's a big dude. His thing is more like, how is he going to play? But I think Brevin Jordan, you know, is going to have a chance. So things like that, we're going to know a lot more come Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, when we start talking about rookies, I kind of forgot to mention Luke Lachey is in those. I think those guys are in an interesting competition themselves. Those tight ends, I feel like you know that you're going to have two of those guys for certain.
Yeah,
in Schultz and Stover. I think you're going to have a more traditional fullback. And so if that's the case, I don't know that you're going with like 3-4 tight ends. It might be closer to 3 tight ends with 2 of them active on a game day. And so that, you know, when you get to Brevin or Luke, or I mean, even if Irv Smith, does Irv Smith factor in? I think that will be an interesting one. A couple of things that come in on the various mediums where you can get at us from the text line, from the 832. I bet throughout training camp, there will be multiple versions of the first team O-line. It's quite possible. And I think that's going to be, it's going to tell us a little something. Hopefully there is multiple versions of the first team O-line, at least when it comes to trying things out. Because again, competition is what we were sold to help try and assuage some of our concerns about the offensive line talent that they put together and offensive line talent that they actually put up on Pro Football Focus, for whatever you want to, you know, lean into that as the 32nd best in the NFL, which I think you know what the other way of saying that is. And then on top of that, there is on the YouTube page, Sean Caldwell asked, and this is a fairly good one, will the big uglies be big nasties?
Yeah.
Because that's something that they've talked a lot about. They've talked a big game about getting out here and being physical and being nasty under Cole Popovich. Does that show up? Does that translate? All those things we're hoping to get a level of insight into in the first few days of camp. And that begins tomorrow. One more sleep till we can get out there and see some of that. Excited for that here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, your home of the Houston Texans. All right, you're in the loop here. Coming up next, the Astros have had their 5-game division lead restored. You know, hallelujah. And some of it was due to a certain Atascocita alum. Did they find a crucial piece along the way or a crucial trade piece? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about Bryce next.